Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening to the sound of my voice, and I wish you all peace, love, and happiness. How is everybody doing? I hope you're having an incredible week. You know what? I just realized I forgot to give kind of an important shout out here to Tom Brady. I forgot to mention that he's just this old guy that's still performing in the NFL at a very high level. He's won another Super Bowl, in case you have not heard. It happened back in February. But he won the Super Bowl again with a brand new team, brand new offensive scheme. It was not with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Congratulations to Tom Brady. I hear a whole bunch of talk about calling him the GOAT and whatnot, but you gotta remember, I forgot the NBA player, the old man, he won six championships. He won 11, I'm sorry. Michael Jordan won six. Oh my God, what's his name? Bill Russell, he won 11 championships. And I don't know why he's never included in this GOAT conversation. But you know what? Serena Williams has won, 22, 23 championships in her tennis career? How about we start recognizing Serena as the GOAT? But anyway, I digress. Congratulations, Tom Brady. You did a hell of a job there with a brand new team. So, what I want to talk about here, just starting off on the podcast, is something that I find a little disturbing. And I'm talking about this issue of diversity and how these companies, these boardrooms, they are scrambling to diversify their boardrooms. They're trying to add women, trying to add people of color, trying to add Asian Americans, like what have you. Whatever they think that they're lacking in like a certain race or ethnic group, they're scrambling to try to add that to their boardrooms. And the amount of people that sound like they have a problem with that is pretty disturbing to me. It's kind of like there are people that don't want other ethnicities and other races represented anywhere. And that makes no sense to me. Because if there's one thing that we have to realize is that we all need everybody's input in order to make it through this thing and become better. It never was about just one race or one group of people doing everything. That was a lie. That was a lie that we were kind of all spoon-fed. Like, there was just certain things that's just not... Let me give you another perfect example. This whole deal with Dr. Seuss. So, people are pissed off about they're claiming Dr. Seuss is being canceled, blah, blah, blah. That whole culture, that whole cancel culture thing that I talked about in another episode of the podcast. What actually happened is the company or the group that owns the rights to the Dr. Seuss material, they actually recognized that some of their material was offensive. Now, there are six books in question that they decided to just remove from print. They're probably being scalped right now. You could probably go find these books at a ridiculously high price on Amazon or eBay. But Dr. Seuss as a whole is not being canceled. In these six books, there are some extremely racist references to other races, other groups, and the company decided to pull those books from print. I don't believe that they had any pressure from any groups, from any politicians, or anything like that. I think the company just looked at, they wanted to be inclusive to everybody, and they didn't want to offend any groups of people, and they saw that some of their stuff was questionable. Racist. Let's just say racist. And they decided on their own to pull this stuff from print. So now everybody's out here hollering about we're canceling Dr. Seuss. We're not canceling Dr. Seuss. You can still go read Green Eggs and Ham. That's not an issue. You can still go read One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. I think that was a book. I can't even remember this stuff. The six books that they pulled from print, by the way, I've never even actually heard of. Even when I had both of my kids at that age where I was trying to read, get them up to reading level, I never even heard of the, what is it? I think I bought a farm, or Who Bought the Zoo? I know I'm butchering the title, because I don't know what it is. I never heard of those books. But, it was never like a big deal for me. Let me give you a perfect example. When I was a child, I used to watch Tom and Jerry. I could watch Tom and Jerry all day, every day. I'm talking about the classics. I'm not talking about the revamped with the brand new graphics and all that stuff. I'm talking about Tom and Jerry from the late 70s, 80s. And was it in the 90s? I can't even remember. But I think by about the 90s, somewhere in that area, the 2000s, some of those episodes of Tom and Jerry were pulled because they were racist. I'm not sure that you can find an episode of Tom and Jerry that comes on TV that still had the mammy legs, which was just like this, the stereotypical black woman walking around with really big fat legs, big swollen ankles, and she was shuffling around in slippers, and they never showed her face. Actually, they never showed her like above her knee. Like, you never saw anything above her knee. But you could tell by the way that she talked, because she was voiced by somebody, and the way that she acted, that she was the stereotypical house Negro. So there was a certain time, I can't remember when it was, where those episodes of Tom and Jerry were pulled from television. And I'm not mad at that. I just remember when I was a child laughing at that stuff hysterically. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. But now that I'm an adult, I realize that those things were offensive. And they were offensive to me, but I didn't realize it at the time. But my childhood is not destroyed because they removed some episodes of Tom and Jerry from television. I recognize in my age and in my maturity that there are certain things that we used to do, that we used to think, that we used to joke about, that is no longer appropriate in today's time. I have an unpopular opinion for you. Just because the Founding Fathers started this country doesn't make them gods. That doesn't mean that they did everything right. That doesn't mean that the way that they thought about certain people was not wrong. It does not mean that the Founding Fathers are above reproach. What it is about the saying is that you know better and you do better all through the process of growing. Well, us in this country, we're going through a growing process right now. And we're realizing that some of the stuff that we used to laugh at and joke about and think about is not cool. Another perfect example, the movie Trading Places. I didn't even realize this till later. Trading Places came out in the 80s. I loved it. It was Eddie Murphy. It was Dan Aykroyd. It was Jamie Lee Curtis. A cool movie about switching the roles between the rich and the poor. If you haven't had a chance to see it, go see it. But there is one scene, and all of this cancel culture stuff going around, nobody talks about Dan Aykroyd actually dressing up in blackface for that movie. Now, granted, it was for a comedy. People don't talk about it. I don't even know why. How did Dan Aykroyd escape the venom and the fire of this whole cancel culture thing? Like, he literally dressed up in blackface in that movie. In that scene, he was in blackface for like a good 15, 20 minutes. So it wasn't like they gave Robert Downey Jr. crap for that movie that he did with, not Ben Affleck. I can't think of his name right now, but he was like the military guy, and he's like dressing for tees, and he was in blackface, and they gave Robert Downey Jr. flack for doing that. But, you know, sometimes to me it seems like this stuff is like cherry picked or whatever to appease whoever. So anyway, there are some things that we used to do that it was never right. It was funny. It might have been funny at the time. It might have been funny for a different mindset. It might have been different. It might have been funny for different people who were in control of the media that we consumed back then. But for now, it's not cool. And that's what we're dealing with. And I think that's what's happening with the whole Dr. Seuss thing. But Dr. Seuss is not being canceled. It's just six of his books are being pulled out of print. That's all. You can still find them. They're still out there. I'm pretty sure scalpers will be more than happy to sell you $1,000 copy of, I don't even know the name of the book. I saw it on the Mulberry, or What If I Bought a Zoo? I don't even know these titles because I never read them. So, but anyway, that's what I wanted to say about that. Hope everybody is still having an incredible weekend. Let's not to be too hard on everybody. Let's talk about empathy. And how we can kind of put ourselves in the shoes of others around us. And just realize that some of the stuff that we say, some of the stuff that we joke about, some of that stuff is offensive to other people. Even though we don't want to admit it. Even though the person that was offended might not want to admit it. Because you know what happens? They'll get called a wimp, or they'll get called a snowflake, or they'll get called some other stupid name that's supposed to demean their feelings. But just because you don't get why they're offended, that doesn't make it any less valid. And I know I've offended some people in my life. That's just how it goes. So, empathy, everybody. Let's start to be aware of the stuff that we do and how other people perceive it. And don't worry, you can still go get a copy of Green Eggs and Ham and sit down and have a glass of wine and be quiet. So, let me take a really quick break. A really quick question of the day, actually. Do you agree with this whole cancel Dr. Seuss and anybody else who did anything questionable in their lives? Or is it really just accountability culture? That's what I called it in another episode of the podcast. It's people being accountable for stuff that they said, stuff that they did, stuff that they joked about. Like, things that you do, you're not doing them in a vacuum. Things that you do have real life repercussions and real life consequences. And people seem to don't want to realize that. So, let me take a quick break. I'll come right back with the rest of this episode of the podcast. Hey, everybody. DeCourcy Williams here with the Uplifting Words Podcast, and I want to tell you about Wine Ambassador. Wine Ambassador is an amazing company where you can get high-quality Napa Valley wines shipped directly to your door. Becoming a member with Wine Ambassador will allow you to get deep discounts on your wines, and you can begin to set up social parties, giving wine giveaways and wine tastings, and earn some money with this amazing company. Click the link in the description and you'll be taken to a short video where it'll give you a brief rundown of everything that this company can do for you. Wine Ambassador, where we are changing the way that you buy wines one person at a time. Hey guys, DeCourcy Williams coming at you, and I want to introduce you to my blog. I call it Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures, but you can find it by visiting www.9w6e.com. Of course, I'll have it in the show notes description. If you can't click on the link, just make sure that you go check it out. I want to draw your attention to the tab that says Biohacking Supplements. You know, biohacking is the art of taking a supplement and forcing your body to work at its best. And I have a particular supplement that I really want you guys to experience. It's called Brain Reimagined by VeloVita. It is an incredible supplement that has me working at my best. It's healthy brain food, guys. So what that does is give you bursts of energy, improved mental focus, and incredible mental acuity. So go check out my blog today, and you can get some more information about how you can get your hands on some. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And, you know, there's a couple of things running through my mind during these times. So I've heard a news report about some QAnon people that are under the impression that on March the 4th, which is apparently some, according to some old rule in our politics, is the actual inauguration day of the President of the United States. So apparently way back in, I don't even remember what year it was, 1900s, somewhere way back in the day, the date for the inauguration changed from March 4th to January, whenever the inauguration is now. I forgot the day. This stuff got my head spinning anyway. So anyway, there's a group of people that were planning on storming the Capitol once again on March the 4th because they're under the impression that Donald Trump is going to magically appear out of nowhere and retake his claim or retake his throne as the President of the United States on March 4th. And these people claim that every president that has been inaugurated in January has been illegitimate. And the true inauguration day is March 4th, according to them. So, That is a lot to handle. So the FBI has intercepted some communications and some ramblings on social media about these groups of people that plan on attacking the Capitol March the 4th. Is it ever going to end? You would think that after all of these conspiracy theories and all of these dates that have come and gone and all of these magical reappearances from Donald Trump that were supposed to happen that did not happen, that these people would finally get the message and say, okay, this isn't going to happen. Joe Biden's the president of the United States. Donald Trump is not coming back unless he runs again in the next chance he gets. What is it, 2022, 2024? Which it looks like he might just do that. But anyway, he's not magically coming back on March the 4th. Like, there's not going to be another insurrection. These people are just not getting the hint. And you know what? It's sad, because if these folks have to admit that they have been duped, then they are going to have to question their entire existence. And I think that's why people latch on to this idea. Even if the idea is horrible, even if it's wrong, I'm pretty sure they know that it's wrong. But if they admit to themselves that it's wrong, then they have to admit that everything in their life is wrong. But unfortunately, these people are dangerous. These aren't just ramblings on social media. Some people are actually willing to get out here and do some things. And it's crazy, because those are the same people that call people on the left or liberals, they call snowflakes. But liberals weren't the ones that stormed the Capitol crying because they think that their guy lost and they lied. It's just so much. So anyway, let's not talk about that. Let me talk about Prosperity Consciousness that I'm still reading by Frederick Lehrman. And I really want to drive this point home. I keep going back to the part in the book. I believe it's chapter 3, where he talks about your thoughts are eternal. And I really want to drive this part home, because I think that's why a lot of people latch on to certain things that they thought was the absolute truth. And they don't even try to change it. They don't even try to look for another opinion or another option. Anything that challenges that way that they thought is just fodder. Get it away from me. That's not true. That can't be true. So on and so forth. So what it means when you say thoughts are eternal. If you can think about back into your childhood, things that you might have been told. Let's talk about this whole money thing. So for a lot of people, a lot of reasons why people block their prosperity when it comes to finances. It can be any area of your life. But there are things that we're told as children when we didn't have a say-so in the matter, and we carry them subconsciously into our adulthood. When a lot of people were young, they were told that rich people were like criminals, or they were told that they did something unscrupulous to gain their money, or if their neighbor ends up with a new car, even saying something like, well, so-and-so must have robbed somebody to get money to get that new car. Your children, or when you were a child, you absorb that information, and you might not have done anything with it back then when you were young. As you grow older, though, your subconscious acts in ways that will affirm that belief that you had. So you might be rejecting, or you might be repelling money and riches away from you because you had that belief that rich people are criminals, rich people are bad guys, rich people did something wrong in order to gain that money. That's also why I believe a lot of people have an issue spending money. So if you are given a windfall, like say you just walked outside of your front door, and this is another story from the book, and you just find a bag, and the bag has your name clearly printed on it, and it says, this is for you. You open up the bag, and it's a couple of million dollars. Let's just say it's like $2 million in there. A lot of people would freak out. There'd be all of these, what am I going to do's, and who can I trust to let them know that I actually got this money, and how am I going to save it? Where am I going to put it? There's a whole bunch of stuff that people would have to really argue with internally to allow themselves to accept whatever the amount of money is, especially if it's a lot of money. And, you know, they got these old sayings where older people, if they had a whole bunch of money, they say stuff like, it almost burned my hands, and, ooh, this money is burning a hole in my pocket. It's just like these old things are passed down from generation to generation. So now, as an adult, you may have had opportunities pass you by because you said they sounded too good to be true. or it sounded too easy, or it sounds illegal, I shouldn't do that. And it could have been something that really could have put your life on a different plane. But it's up to each of us to kind of go back and think, like, why do I think like that? Like, if you have an issue with having a whole bunch of money, it would be in your best interest to try to dig through your past and see why you think certain things about money, especially about money. Because unfortunately, in our society, in this capitalistic society, money holds a great deal of weight. And a lot of people say, I don't really care about money, I don't really want money. That could be something else that's blocking you from your prosperity, because that could be another message that was given to you while you were young and you don't even realize it. So when the book talks about thoughts being eternal, those thoughts that we have, even though they're subconscious, they are thoughts and they're not going to change. We will subconsciously act in ways to repel good things, blessings, prosperity. We will repel all of that stuff from us, even though we proclaim to want those things. You can sit around and say, I want to be rich all day. But what are your actions? What are you doing to actually achieve that goal? Like, a lot of people use the term that somebody might have been lazy when they were a child. No, people aren't lazy. They're just not interested. And unfortunately, a lot of that non-interest surrounded school. So that caused people to be labeled as unteachable. And maybe some people were labeled as mentally retarded, or maybe some people were labeled something else bad. And then you go into adulthood and you have that. And it might be subconsciously, but you will subconsciously act in the way that you were labeled. But until you can go back and dig into your childhood or dig into your past and dig into that mental tape that's playing in your head and unlearn that, that thought will stay with you forever. So that's what it means when it says thoughts are eternal until you change them, until you rewrite them. And it's hard work. I'm not even going to lie, because there are some things that have happened in my childhood that I react, or I might get triggered off of something, and like, you literally have to stop and really go through that tape in your head and say, why was I triggered by that? And you might find that episode or that thing that happened when you were a child that causes you to be triggered by a certain thing. And I don't know, it could be whatever yours is. You'll have to find that on your own. But once you find that and you unravel that, that's when you can write a brand new pathway. You can create a brand new memory. You can change your ideas on rich people. let's just go there. So like I said, I'm reading this book, Prosperity Consciousness. I really wish that I could just give a copy of that out to everybody that I come across, because I believe that book is so important. Not only does it pertain to finances, it could pertain to every area of your life. Everybody has some sort of baggage. Everybody has something that we're carrying with us, which is why I also believe in empathy. As much empathy as humanly possible. Now, I know we all can't run around on rainbows and butterflies and sunshine, but we have to start being aware that we do not exist in vacuums. We need to start being aware that we need each other. We need other people. We need their points of views, we need their insights, we need their contributions to whatever. It doesn't matter what race they are, doesn't matter what sex they are, doesn't matter what they identify as, or none of that stuff. Because we are all humans, we're all connected. We are all going through this thing called life. So, having empathy for other people, realizing that there's actually another point of view, and you just can't bulldoze your ideas onto somebody else just because they think differently from you, that will help you have peace in this life. And also doing the hard work of going back through your past and trying to unwrite and unlearn some of those things that were given to you when you were a child, that'll help you to live a more peaceful and prosperous life. So that's what I have. I really encourage everybody, take some time for yourself, whether you pray, whether you meditate, whether you sit in a room and listen to some meditative sounds like a babbling brook or a thunderstorm rolling, but take some time to really dig into yourself and find out why you react to certain things the way you react to. And I gotta tell you, one of my main things is really about money and being rich, because I was fed that line that people that have a lot of money, they were crooks, they were bad people, they were unscrupulous. And for years, I've wanted to be rich, I wanted to be wealthy, but subconsciously, I had to realize that if I were to become that, then that meant that I was a bad person, I was a crook, I was unscrupulous. And that stuff, your conscious mind can't beat those subconscious thoughts. You will subconsciously sabotage yourself for your entire life until you realize what you're doing. So my hope is that everybody can kind of go back and see where it is that they want to rewrite their own past. And I'm not talking about like superficially rewrite your own past. I'm not talking about saying that you went to Harvard and graduated with a 3.5 when you really didn't. I'm talking about those things that you were told before you had a choice. So, thank you very much, everybody. I hope you have an incredible weekend. Don't forget, follow me on my various forms of social media. I'm on Instagram as Corsi the Wine Lover, and also on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm on TikTok. Funny thing, I'm on TikTok. That's crazy. But just look for DeCorsi Williams. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find me. There's not too many out there like me. So have an incredible weekend, guys. I will talk to you in the next one.